Let's retravel the ground again in Philippians. One through 11. The occasion of Paul's letter to the Philippians, an offering brought to him from the church at Philippi by Philemon, or rather by Epaphroditus. He offers a Eucharist to God. He says, upon literally the reverse of what the King James says, their remembrance of him. And he discusses their joint participation with him in the gospel, these many years being the only church that supported him throughout his ministry. He prays they may abound in this joint participation. And then he answers what might be in their mind or might not be in their mind as wrong attitudes about his imprisonment. He says, 12th verse, I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened. But ask again, how many have which happened in their Bible? In italics. That means it's added by the translators, right? It's particularly offensive in this case. Because nothing just happens to a Christian. The Greek literally is saying, the things which dominate me. The condition that, as you view it, shows me under the control of forces outside myself. And he makes it clear, as a slave of Christ, which is the way he opens, that Christ is in control of this apparent bondage and prison, as well as everything else in his life. You see, I haven't figured out yet why it bothers me. As we prepared for fires all over Southern California, I talked to my people, having done all therefore stand. We were ready for the threat in the hillsides above Silver Oaks Ranch. Then I get waked up after the fires are over down here with a call at 5:30 in the morning that my parents' home, that had all of their life's investment and mementos, including, to give a sample of the kinds of mementos, their marriage license, everything, engulfed in flames on Lake Almanor in Northern California, 1,000 miles away. I actually was making progress. You might not believe it, but I was actually making progress in cleaning house on some of my staff problems, disentangling some from jobs that they hang on to the crippling of this ministry. And the worst problem I have, for which I've worked almost 7 years to replace the jobs, at least, that this person is doing by someone else doing them. Just when I was about ready to make some major shifts in preparation for the coming year, burning of this house has so strapped me and pulled the very people that I was training to take the place of a festering cancer in this organization that I want to cut out had to be pulled away to handle this problem of the endless work and details of almost like an archaeologist of going through and inventorying and dealing with insurance people. And I don't care about the house or the material things. I ride loose with those things. The memories are important. It affects my mother more than even me. But when we were already a skeleton, to have to shift some more bones and shift the very ones that I was training to take the place of the problem personnel. It's frustrating. It sets me back in curing the problem that I'm convinced has made major contributions to our being held back in so many vital areas. I mean, this festering cancer sits astride the intersection that enables that person to continually throw up roadblocks to the shortwave expansion. Whether consciously because against it, or subconscious because it's something new that threatens his position. You may say, why don't you get rid of him? I'm the only person that can do his job. If I do his job, I won't be sitting here. You may not believe it, I sat down 7 years ago with 7 people, very intelligent. One of them was a lawyer. 7 very intelligent, dedicated people. And I sat this other person down and said, this is the Aiken in the camp. This is the man that's holding us back. This man, through the years of growth, has gotten his hands on things he just knows. And other than me, he's the only one who can do these jobs. And your job, he was sitting there. Your job is to see to it, 6 months from now, a year from now maximum. If he repents and gets his heart right, I can put him in a box over here doing something else. If he doesn't, he's gone. Your job is to replace 7 of you, what he does. They're all 7 are gone. That was just the first roll around. Recently, I started training somebody else along this long chain. Just when he was reaching the point that he could show me some progress, his gonads got out of control. And he's gone. Now, I'm sure this will result in what makes it harder for me each year to replace this one problem area plus others. Satan knows what's going on. He knows if I break this throttle hold, I sit like Paul, betwixt and between, in a straight between. I can cut the ministry back, lose another 5 or 10 years, till we don't need some of these jobs done. I can do them myself. But then I can't do, as I've said, what I'm doing. Or I train someone to take his place. And there's nothing in between those three. There were four people. One of them's gone. What I'd call a gang of four. One of them's gone. One of them's turned around. One of them I'm not sure about. And one I have no hopes for. That's the one I'm talking about. I frankly think he's fooled the devil, but you can't deliver somebody who doesn't want to be. In that area short of, I shouldn't say full of the devil, under the control periodically, he opens the door every day. And there are several degrees of demonic control short of possession. You can deliver possessed people that have lost control of their will. You can't deliver those in between that don't want to be and refuse to recognize who their master is. And I was starting to see light at the end of the tunnel until the fire. And again, there was no way of handling this problem short of me going up there or sending someone I could trust. So the ones that I was grooming are tied up with that for weeks. Now, this is not just a complaint. I know how to complain. I'm good at that. It's setting a stage for a statement. I don't understand it. I will, I'm sure. And I might point out that when Paul says later on to these very Philippians, verse 25, and having this confidence I know, it means having come to a conclusion after having thought it out in all ramifications and deliberated it to a fixed conclusion. Paul didn't come to all his conclusions with bright lights out of heaven that started him. But in this case, he's going to tell the Philippians when we get back to the 25th verse, as a result of long deliberation and thinking it through, weighing all the various aspects, he's fully persuaded. Right now, I don't understand it. But of this one thing, I'm sure, having learned through experience enough and learned from God's Word, God didn't burn the house, but Satan, nor any other force, can touch a man or woman of God except within God's proviso. And there will come a seeing of the purpose, and it will have a purpose. And God enters into all things to work His good. At least I've come to that maturity in faith through long experience. There will be a rainbow over this storm. Maybe. My designated way of curing the problem I've been wrestling with for 7 years, which is just simply finding personnel who will do a job that enables me to move someone who won't. Maybe my choice was a wrong one. Maybe this move sideways will cause the eruption of some other things. Not the least of which is my deliberate decision as a result of skeletal crew on Sunday, to bite the bullet and go all volunteer with the sound at the cathedral. I'm quite sure what happened Sunday wouldn't have happened if my whole crew had been here. Knowing what I've been doing behind the scenes to make the very ones I've had to move to Almanor, because the checklist is very important at Almanor. I don't have people there I can count on to inventory and to label and to do things properly. If they'd been here Sunday, we might not have had the circumstance Sunday that has caused me to make what I think will prove to be a very valuable decision for this ministry. All this is simply to add some personal touch to this verse. Take out things happened. Which happened? Things don't just happen to Christians. Bad or good. We are not in a roll-of-the-dice life. We are in hands better than Allstate. And before it's done, if Satan had any part in that fire, he'll wish he hadn't. He'll wish he had left the thing alone, as it was. I will win my battle over the staff problems. I have come down from the hill. I've been on the bulldozer for some time, to go back to Pastor Portee's prophecy. I am rolling over things that will turn out to be faces. You remember that prophecy? I was climbing this hill. But every so often I'd have to come down, get on a bulldozer, and turn dirt over. And as the dirt turned over and the cloth rolled over, they were faces. And some faces would leave, be turned under, and others would emerge. The only problem is I'm down to bedrock. And these big rocks are harder to move. But I'll get it done. Tougher than any other similar job I've ever done. Relevant to this verse, things don't just happen. I will move this ministry into the 21st century. We will be covering the world, and Clara Grace's prophecy will be fulfilled, and Portee's prophecy will be fulfilled. I'll make it up the mountain. And I, in the process, will probably get tougher than the bulldozer. I just wish, you know, if I could go back and redo the prophecy, I wish that the time would have come, I'd come down the hill and didn't need a bulldozer anymore, do it barehanded. And I've lived with Paul because I need what I'm teaching as much as anybody. I'm frustrated at being held back, doing so much with so little. What could we do if we could break this 3,000 barrier and move on to 7,000? What could we do if we could break this $1 million a month barrier and just move on to 2? We've done all this with the same substance for 7 years. But things don't just happen. And there are things dominating me right now. And you say, well, why don't you fire them? I told you. Got to have somebody else that will come in with the dedication that I can train to take his place. And there are people scared. Well, I don't want to be treated like you treated that man Sunday. Well, something wrong, bad wrong with you. If you don't think that after working 15 years, I still couldn't get you to keep a simple checklist, there's something wrong with you if you don't think you ought to be treated worse than that. If you don't have a higher opinion of yourself than that, there's something wrong with you. That wasn't a new rookie employee. That person's been here 15 years, 18 years. Never did that to him before. I've run out of every other option. As I said, there were four in this gang of four. One of them's gone. One of them's done a turnaround. One I'm not sure about yet. And that one I'm not sure about witnessed a scene last night after a good festival until I dealt with the incurable one until almost 2 a.m. And yet tonight, when asked and challenged, because I made an issue I have on my set tonight, starting today, Wednesday, the new high adventure Mount Hermon Israel frequency is 9960, replacing 11530. I said, why wasn't I told this all week long? Why didn't I have a message laying on my set that I'd stumble over before I could get to the chair, so I could announce to the world, frequency's going to change? Ever since we've been on shortwave, I've run into this obstructionism to everything shortwave. So I had Mark Travis, whom I used Sunday morning, call and ask why I wasn't told this so I could announce it all week long. To Mark Travis, this one I'm not sure about. Admitted he knew it about a month ago and said he had told Doc. Well, now let's assume that's true. It's not true, but let's assume it's true. Telling me a month ago and putting the reminder here for the sake of the audience are light years apart. That's apples and oranges. As he painted his black gray to save a little face, but it was alive in the pit of hell. And when I got on the phone, he starts jabbering about, well, we've been running audios announcing this. I said, you what? I mean, I'm supposed to listen to the shortwave to find out things so I can tell you? But then I said, you what? Isn't it the rule that nothing runs on this network that I haven't previewed it first? Well, yeah. And before coming to this festival, I had to deal with that character problem, as I do every day. It never transfers to the next character problem. As Reinhold Niebuhr said, we're not willing to sin. We have to convince ourselves our sin's really not sin after all. We've got to save a little face. The bottom line is, I'm being told tonight that it changes. Well, pain painful as it is to accept,
nothing just happens.
Now, you're watching Gene Scott if you just tuned in. You're listening to Gene Scott if you just tuned in. And I don't want any announcers making an announcement. I'll give you music before the 4 minutes goes by. The Lord's not going to come before the year 2000. I'm going to give you a long time to stand. And we will go into the 21st century with people capable of carrying this ministry forward instead of holding it back. But some of you had better start facing up to your calling. And better start laying your talents on the line and your ego on the floor and say, here am I. Use me. Now, I want volunteers that have any sound skills at the cathedral at 8 o'clock Saturday night, ready to help Sunday morning. If the spirit is right and I have new people, I don't care how many mistakes you make. I got some material I can work on. I don't want to deal any longer with those that are past stealing. If I have to lose a house now, I'm in order to create the crises of staff stretching that makes me start taking some steps. And you start taking some steps long overdue, then praise be to God. Now get on the telephone and offer yourselves. And if you're not a sound technician, at least you can fill a seat Sunday. Now get on the telephone. You know, I feel like that tonight it's as though, in a small way, because anything in comparison to Paul would be small, I'm sharing with the few out of the 50,000 King's Houses that represent my Philippian band. As I share my bonds, which are nothing alongside Paul, but they frustrate me because there's that interference between you dedicated ones and me and a very few of my staff and some barnacles on the staff that are interference rather than help. And yet they occupy key places over the years and Satan got to them. And I'm sharing the one that's been the problem for so long. For 12 years, he moved with dedication and faithfulness into key position. And Satan got to him. And it's a life and death struggle that's going on between 3 and 4 hours a day of every day alongside all the other ministry that I do. It's too cold in here. Find a spot in between. It's like I'm in a jet on a long journey with an assistant in the cockpit that I can't throw out at 40,000 feet unless I got somebody that can sit in his chair. And I can't go there and pilot. Freudian slip. But as I said, I was just starting to feel I was making progress. And this fire snatched away the help. I had a second person I was training. So I put that person in this week. It only took him one day and he got sick. And I, you know, I get up and gnash my teeth in the morning. Because it seems whatever I do, circumstances put this person back in his little saddle. We are a very big organization, you know that? I work the same workload you work, if not more, and then come here as you do, to do a festival, gutted usually by this same person. He doesn't manage to do it before the festival, he does it after the festival. And he's past feeling. Repentance is not in him. We're in the wrong century. I know what my granddad would do to him. But this century disallows me that training method. One thing, I don't have the ability to do it. I'm just restrained with the times. And I'm trying to challenge some of you that have let cowardice take over, because I'm telling you, it's been pretty clear. I mean, those original seven, some of them I can't even find them on the universe. I bet they could tell you. We didn't know what we were getting into. Satan doesn't want this transition to occur. Whenever I get there, I've got to wear the whole armor of God. And as I told you, I had one that was almost taking his place, and his gonads took over. I'm not against gonads. I'm not against marriage. I'm against deceit. I'm against things conceived in subterfuge and lies, and I'm not about to get from the frying pan to the fire and replace my present problem with a person who engaged in deceit with me in another dimension of their life. If I'm going to put somebody into confidential positions in this church, you're going to tell me who you're dating? And if you think I'm different than anybody else, you try to move to one of the top three positions in General Motors and see if the board doesn't figure out what your companion is doing also. I mean, some of this, you know, I said goddamn last night when I left, speaking of answering machines, I'm not cussing. I'm merely identifying with God's mind. This goddamn juvenile idea of freedom. Well, I can do what I want. I fired a key person during the job. We're pretty lean in staff. I've fired a lot of people over the last few months. Normally, in my past years, I always had three or four people waiting in line to take their place, but I'm apparently surrounded by chickens that don't want to work for George Patton or Vince Lombardi. So they sure wouldn't work for me because I'm tougher. Chickens. We had 24-hour fire watch at the ranch. And one of my key people, I came back, and he had decided to go see his kids. Planning to get back at 11 o'clock. He didn't. Got back about 1. I didn't care if he went to see his kids. I didn't care if he quit. He really wasn't like this other person in an irreplaceable spot. All he had to do was hold his hands up and say, I need to go see my kids. Ought to put somebody else in his place. But that's like a sentry on duty. Not only that, he was in charge of the fire crew that was waiting there. And I was gone, counting on him, and he thought he could sneak away and get back and I wouldn't discover it. That made the sin more heinous. And then one of my other key aides asked him, well, where was he till 1 a.m? Has he got a girlfriend or what? He proceeded to preach my sermon. Doc says what we do in our personal life's our own business. Hey, man, when you go to work for me on a key aide position, I mean, you can sweep floors, you can haul the junk, you can do a lot. You become one of my key aides, you don't have a personal life that I don't know about. Try that with Lod Cook at Arco if you're one of his key assistants. Now, I'm going to know who you're fricking around with. If you're going to a whorehouse, you give me the address. You want to be independent? I just made you independent. Why? Another one has a girlfriend. I find she works for a law firm. With all the legal problems we're in, don't you think I'm entitled to be asked? Maybe we ought to research and see if that law firm is on the other side of some of the battles we're fighting. This goddamn juvenile mentality that runs somewhere below the belly button. Tell me what you're doing. I got plenty of people that mow lawns and shovel crap and horse stalls. If you're going to get into the confidential area of this church, your life's no longer equivalent to an independent gang leader. Now, you can put your money on the fact it's taking me longer than I thought it would, but I'll get through this. Half a year of sickness. Things don't just happen. Paul says, you will see, Philippians, this is falling out to the advancement of the gospel. You know what? The furtherance of the gospel in that Greek text my affairs have fallen out, literally come to the result of the furtherance of the gospel. You know what the word furtherance of the gospel translates? The word is prokopane. It was used to describe an army of woodcutters that went ahead of the regular army through impassable forests and cut a clear path, cleared the way in order that the army might advance into new, formerly impenetrable territory. Paul was chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. They rotated the soldiers. They heard his every prayer. They heard his every witness. They listened to him dictate his letters. They saw him write. And former areas never penetrated with the gospel. Through the whole Praetorian Guard, we got a prisoner that's different. analogy? If I had my choice, I'd just sit here and teach. And God would send an angel down somewhere to just turn on towers everywhere. Engineers would spin knobs and this thing. Well, we're putting this in, we're playing this tape, but this other voice is coming out. God could do that. What's the matter with you? Eight o'clock. Every transmitter in the world, you'd see these idiot heads sitting there reading their idiot cards, and their mouths would be moving, but the voice that would come out would be mine. Wouldn't that be wonderful? God could do it that way. He got me wrestling with this demon-oppressed, sometimes controlled person. Spending 2 and 3 hours of my day wrestling with a body that brought Satan with one single purpose all day long. To throw sand in the machinery. To impede my progress. And the timing's impeccable. 5 o'clock, things are supposed to be done so I can get ready for festival. 5 o'clock, you set your clock by it. I can throw my watch away. At 5 o'clock, this person will create a crisis. Every day. The only thing makes me hope we have a bad festival. I can usually have a little relief after the festival. If we have a good one, he's guaranteed to be caught doing something at the close of the festival that he didn't do that he was supposed to do. I wonder how many times you voices of faith have heard yells coming out of that garage, and faithful people have stood out here needing to go to work early in the morning in the alley while I deal with this intractable monster who's an excuse for a man. And I almost was free. He is the only man on the face of this earth I've seen so far that can keep the hours I keep. Everybody else collapses. There's two omnipresent people in this ministry, me and my enemy. As Paul had a thorn in the flesh, I've had one. It's the same thing, a messenger from Satan. But nothing just happens. This is an unusual ministry. I came to town looking for uncommon people, and some of you got to surface. He's so quiet. I'm trying to put flesh and blood on Paul. He was God's missionary to the Gentiles. He must have chaffed. I used to go every year to gain new perspective. I wrote about it in the little booklet, A Hole in Rome. And I'd gone often enough, I had the contacts, I could get that Mamertine dungeon in Rome cleared for an hour or a couple hours so I could be alone in it, sitting down in that rock-hewn cistern with that little stone peg. It must have served as a desk or a chair. Here's Paul chaffing to go to Spain. The whole world out there.
held back.
As the world would view it. We wouldn't have had this Philippian letter if he wasn't there. That sure fell out to the gospel, didn't it, and its furtherance? Station break time. I don't know whether you want me to continue or not. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I want. You get on the telephone. And you may say, well, what are some of the things, for example, that this person does that frustrates you? Well, I probably know more detail about everything that goes on than any executive leader anywhere in an organization this size. But I do it by turning my focus meter to different places at different times. Put that camera on, those guys on that, those towers. Let it roll. Give me sound. Those are the new giant curtain antennas, formerly owned by the Four East Broadcasting, that we bought. They cost close to $500,000 new. We got them for $90,000. But part of the deal is we had to take them down, put them in containers, and we'll ship them to the site where we'll install them to broadcast our message. And that's a crack crew of specialists. You saw them go up to that height. This is probably the best crew known anywhere. They are assembled from various parts of the United States. And when we get ready to put this giant curtain antenna up on its new location, this is the crew we want. They're in high demand. I got them. They are private contractors. They're not employees. And I made a deal with them. Now, we pinched pennies, but we couldn't do all that we do. But I gave a very clear order. Expenses, they go through the same scrutiny as anybody else. I don't turn people loose to just spend in expenses. But there's set professional fee paid weekly as the contractor. I gave the orders, don't you be 1 minute late with these guys. There's four of them. They're the best in the world. And I want to make sure they're ready and eager to perform when we need them again. We don't have anybody on our staff that could do that. Last Friday, I discovered for the first time, in spite of my orders, for four consecutive weeks, the checks had not been sent to them. Well, needless to say, I sent them out that same night. But it's as though any order that I give, particularly if it's a new thing that's not in the routines they're grooved with, that they can sleepwalk through. Oh, and then, you know, when caught and balled out, they'll say all the right things, just like that demonic woman at Philippi said all the right things about Paul and Silas. I mean, when Paul got irritated, you could wonder, what's the matter with him? She's saying everything right. I think I fixed it up. I caught it in time. And this, stay there. And this crew will be available again. But multiply that by the hundreds. We're committed to excellence in ministry. And I can't tolerate the horse and buggy mentality that did this little 2, 4, and 6. And you add something new, it's as though this is an irritating addition to my workload. Why don't you fire him? Well, I told you a dozen times, haven't I? That's one example. Come back to me.
I got on this because it was saying, everywhere I turn to correct this problem, I get frustrated. If somebody can do it, he succumbs to the flesh. Get another one can do it, and we have a fire and have to pull him away. Get another one can do it, he gets sick. This other creature never gets sick. I can handle him if I do nothing else. Replacements that I seek got to be willing to wear the protective garments as though you're handling radioactive material. You drop your guard and leave your suit home, you're going to get burned. And everybody I get to take his place gets radiated out. Anybody want a job? We'll make it. But I don't need that problem day in and day out, and you too. You can do your part. Why do I have to come here and wrestle to get 3,000 to simply pick up a telephone? Why do I have to call Voices of Faith to get you to keep your commitment? Why do I have to go through what I go through, periodically threaten to shut things down to keep the cathedral decently populated? You got any point between hell and Antarctica on that thing? Too hot in here now. Now, mark this date on your calendar. Almost 16 minutes before Thanksgiving, 1993. We will come through stronger. This will fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. I repeat, I wish that I could just sit here and teach, and God would confuse the world and turn all transmitters on to me. He could. That's what makes it so frustrating. He's doing this job with me and you. And letting messengers of Satan come in to impede. Heaven must be awful if we're in training for that. Get on the telephone. Cheer up, saints. It's going to get worse. Get on the telephone. When do the greatest defeats in the Bible occur? After a victory. Now, I'd like a report from all of you that got the hell knocked out of you today. Starting with me. I'm serious. You know I am, don't you? After a victory, we drop our guard and Satan lunges. I expected it today. And so far today, I think I've won this one. So I want to hear all of you that won and you that are just waking up to why you lost. And I'd like us to have another victory tonight. We've got an hour and a half, a lifetime. I'd like to do some teaching, but
I'm not quite two-thirds of the way to what I must have as reservations in the cathedral. It's December now. Why don't we get the jump on the devil and your December pledges, get them in. You that have not yet checked in as one of the 3,000 for this week, do it. And count every phone call as a fist in the eye of the devil. Mr. Parker's with us tonight, as he oftentimes is, in between travels everywhere. We put a camera on him. The Parker's the owner of 2FYC, which owns the license of KCBI in Dallas. The equipment, as you know, and land is owned by and under the control of Christine. And they, too, make KCBI possible. Over the weekend, or at the end of last week, Friday, I think, was it Friday or Saturday? His son, how old is he? 15. Like all 15-year-olds, heavy into athletics. Wrestling was fallen on by another one of the competitors and shattered a large chunk out of his kneecap, a very serious injury. Went through surgery through the weekend. He's been here in the cathedral. I want you to pray for him. A call from a listener who wants a copy of The Truth. Said you make a lot of sense. He said, I'm Greek, and you know you're Greek very well. Thank you, particularly coming from a native. Encino. One of 300 celebrating victory today and fighting back with faith. What a pleasure it is to hear Doc tonight, and this is why I'm reading this message. We're not volunteers. We're part of the called team to take this ministry around the world. I'm watching Dr. Scott in Spanish, and I'd like to go to the cathedral, which reminds me you've had enough teaching tonight if it didn't teach any more, as we replayed the message. I'd like to go to the cathedral if this is where I can attend. I'll be with myself. I'll be myself, my wife, and baby. Be sure you explain the facilities to all those who call. Nursery for those under two, and the pastor's trip to the museums for those up to 12. Huntington Park, King's House 50517, take you up on your offer. This is interesting. From Ohio, we and four other affiliates are carrying you from the satellite feed or off of 5935 on our nonprofit stations from 1 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's from 10 p.m. California time. I think that's wonderful as people continue to pick us up. And this is, he gives me his name, of KKBE and KJOY, or KJOE in Ogden, Utah. And they're offering us more time. From 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays. I think that's nice, too. Get on the telephone. Okay, don't take any more calls. I'm back in the book of Philippians. Verse 19, chapter 1. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. And as I told you, this phrase being translated, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation," is a direct quote in the Greek from the Septuagint version, the Old Testament translated into Greek, the Bible of the New Testament Christians. It's a direct quote from Job 13:16. It's like Christians today in whom the word has been so implanted that it's quite natural for them to say, without a reference, "I know that God enters into all things, or all things work together for good to them which are the called according to his purposes." How do we say, "For I know"? I know is not in the quote. But we know it because God's word declares it. Faithers, therefore, can say, "I know." The right translation, "God enters into all things to work his good to them which are the called according to his purposes." For Paul, the Bible of his use, the one Christ would read from, quote from, the Septuagint, so utilized by the New Testament Christians, is that the Jewish Christians, and they were the Jews, not the Christians, the Orthodox Jews begin to turn from the Septuagint, calling it the Christian's Bible. And that became a motivation for the production of an Orthodox Hebrew text to distinguish and break away from what had, through much use, come to be viewed as the Christian's Bible, the Septuagint. And Paul was so filled with it that it would be a natural expression woven into his sentences. Thus, there ought to be quotes, and if punctuation were in the New Testament early manuscripts, it would read, "For I know that," quote, "this shall turn to my salvation." I've been tempted to go to the book of Job and read the whole passage because it's a declaration of faith by Job. It's one of the most soaring statements in that man of the Old Testament under trial. And then he says two elements are involved. Through your prayer, those for whom he said earlier he longed for with the heart of Christ, so identified with them, they with him, and they both with Christ, that they functioned as one, a fulfillment of what Jesus prayed in John 17, "Make them one as you and I are one, I in them, they in me." That's what I seek, and we are building for this ministry. There not only needs to be a 20th century Pauline voice. As I've told you, in the history of the church, every few hundred years, God raises up a voice or voices to re-center the church on the message of Paul. And as this generation needs a Paul voice that takes that wondrous message that, as the third chapter will show, he so, in Ephesians, third chapter, he so feels honored that God would let him reveal the mystery of God's choosing among the Gentiles. Every ethnic group. God not only needs a Pauline voice to do that in this generation, he needs Philippian supporters. That's the true uncommon one that I've been seeking. And this experience that Paul's going through that he says will have fallout to the gospel and will result in Christ being preached, the gospel being spread all the more. His own deliverance, that's the salvation he's talking about, not eternal salvation, but in the context of Job, the salvation from his current strait, his imprisonment at Rome. He knows that his salvation, deliverance, has two elements necessary to its happening: your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's not going to do it by himself. We're under attack right now. I sometimes say, I don't want your prayers if you don't care enough to give. Because anyone can give something. When we get to the back of the line, there are people up front that have proven their genuine identity with this ministry by their giving. I value their prayers a little more than those others. I'm not one that places a high priority on counting beads or empty-minded babblings designed to enhance the spiritual one-upmanship glow of those who do it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All through this teaching on God's calling, I keep emphasizing, understand the dignity. Realize how important you are as part of this called band. That's why I read that earlier message. We're not volunteers. We're part of the called team. Here's this unshakable, fearless, courageous tiger for God, dependent upon the prayers and the support and the joint participation of these Philippians. What an honor. Everybody with any casual encounter with Christianity knows Paul, or at least about Paul. God knows the whole unit, the joint participators, as well as Paul. And Paul knew the joint participators and makes no compromise in his declaration. He offers a Eucharist to God for their joint participation with him in the gospel from the first until the now. But having talked of that gift, even his current condition, though it has fallout for the gospel, he has obviously not just a longing but an expectancy that he shall be delivered, as long as two elements remain constant: and he's sure of both of them.
That's the beauty of it.
He's absolutely sure of it. As I sit down in any crisis, I've come to know I can be sure of a response from what I've often referred to as a hardcore supporting group of this ministry. What I seek and know that God impressed upon me years ago is 3,000. 3,000. That can be the unmovable foundation on which we stand to reach the world. And with Paul, more and more I've come to know. At times I've fretted about it. Each new crisis that demonstrates it, I'll fret a little less and rejoice a little more. I liked the independence of those many years that just the supply of the Spirit was all I needed. Like Paul, I was a sufficient tent maker, that I could support myself in ministry, be dependent on no one, a one-way ticket to a remote part of the world was an honor and a thrill. And I didn't need anybody except God. I could get up every day and make that statement that is one worth putting on everybody's desk or any other prominent place in their home. There's nothing that I'm going to face today that me and God can't handle. In this ministry, I cannot say that anymore. But I can say this. There's nothing that I or this ministry will face today that me and God and you together cannot handle. That's what Paul's saying here. For I know, just as Job could declare it, surrounded by his moan mouth, quote, friends, his judgmental and accusing counselors, I know that this shall turn to my salvation, literally deliverance, and not in eternity, but from this condition, that though it has fallout to the gospel, is still holding me back from further things I'm called to do. And I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. You need my prayers too. And you always have them as these prayer requests come through these lines. In my staff problems, I wish they'd pray more, even if it means working less. It's that spiritual note that recognizes this is more than a fleshly effort. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." There are things that God has willed to do, but will not do, absent the asking voice. There are things that God has willed to do, but will not do, absent the united voice. Then two of you on earth shall agree. There are things that God has willed to do, requiring more than one to do it. I can't reach the world and keep reaching it without you, and you cannot stand at the judgment seat of Christ in the glory of having done it without me and the rest of those that could, should, and will comprise what I conceived many years ago, this 20th century Philippian band. Free me from having to say, I need 3,000 to call in each week and say, I'm one of those you can count on. Let me start saying 4, 5, 6, or 7. Now, come on, get on the telephone. I want to anticipate some further teaching in Philippians by taking you on into the 27th verse of the first chapter. Only let your conversation, the King James says, that's behavior or conduct, politou esthe. We get politics from that. In the purest original meaning, let your politics, a behavior that adheres to sets of purposes and commitments, let your conduct or behavior be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. This is the conduct that counts. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. And this is relevant to our current circumstances. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The Greek, as you know, or I've said to you, and Greek scholars know, is not embarrassed to add the double pressure of a double negative. They often use phrases like Paul talked to the Philippian Christians in a positive frame with a double emphasis. They begged with much begging to share with him in his offering for the needy at Jerusalem. In the Greek, it's not, that's your first negative, not being terrified in not anything by the ones opposing. And let this clarify the situation, which is to them, I'm giving it little literal translation now, which is to them a proof of destruction. Hallelujah. But of you, a proof of salvation. And this from God. Proof of their destruction as an agent of Satan. Proof of our salvation by their very attack. You're known by your enemies as well as your friends. Proof of our salvation, and this from God. We're going to win. Get on the telephone.